2 years ago, on this date, January 2nd, I was sitting at my desk and an email popped up. And it was from Mr. Doug Horchek. And he wanted to set up a time to talk about our transfer, possible transfer, to St. Louis and Rolla. So after the shock wore off, I told Sue and Amy about the email, and we talked about how this was going to affect our lives, this move. And, of course, I spoke with Mr. Pennelly at the time. That was 2 years ago. That is hard to believe. And I'm sure all of us have been in flux during that time. Many things have occurred in the area, here in those couple of years. First, there was the hiring and training of Mr. Justin Adkins. And, of course, he is now officially the pastor of Memphis and Little Rock and Sedgwick. We saw the area unrest in Ferguson, and it affected us, and we began searching for a new hall. And we searched high and low and from east to west trying to find a suitable hall for services. Thankfully, this hall became available and is working out well for us, and it's a lot less expensive for the church as well. And in our own personal lives, we're getting settled, even though we have still a bunch of boxes unpacked. And so we're just leaving them where they are. Because I don't know what's in most of them yet. I mean, we have some labels, but who knows. Now, as we look at the national scene, we wonder what's going to take place in this country this coming year. On the world scene, we wonder which event will trigger a war. And we wonder how much more evil and immorality this society and immoral this society will become. Each year, though, we become closer to the return of Jesus Christ. But until that event occurs, we're going to need to keep watching and praying. So it's good to take some time to review where we are in the world. We did this last year at this time. Where we are and what the church is planning to do for this coming year. So the title of the sermon is Direction of the World and the Church for 2016. I want to read something that came off of the website titled Inquisitors.com. It's a site that is often picked up by news agencies. And I quote, "The predictions for 2016 could be grim, with many world leaders and political experts warning that World War III may be brewing over the conflict in the Middle East. There are concerns that Russia is using its involvement in the war against ISIS to protect its own interest in Syria. Russia backs President Assad and has been accused of conducting airstrikes not only against ISIS but also against the Syrian rebels. The United States backs the Syrian rebels, leading some to believe that the Syrian civil war could actually become a proxy battle between Russia and the U.S. And I continue this quote, "But other predictions in 2016 point to World War III being fought across the globe. After the terrorist attacks in Paris, Jordan's King Abdullah said that we are facing a third world war against humanity, and that world leaders would need to work collaboratively to address interconnected threats. Even Pope Francis has warned of World War III, saying that instead of a giant conflict with the world's largest nations rising armies and fighting battles, it has been fought piecemeal through crimes and massacres and destruction. But the 2016 predictions point to ISIS as the biggest threat. There's something that sets the conflict in Syria and Iraq apart from the previous large-scale wars. Unlike the Korean War, which was a proxy war between China and the United States, and the Cold War, which saw the United States and the USSR teeter basically on the brink of nuclear war, the fight with ISIS has some more foreboding consequences." And again, this came out of this off this website. "ISIS holds apocalyptic views with leader Abu al-Baghdadi seemingly obsessed with the end times. It also believes that the grand battle, essentially Armageddon, between the Muslims and the Romans, that's how it is noted here in the article, i.e. the Western forces, will soon occur in the small Syrian town of Dabiq. Dabiq was fought over ferociously in 2014, and despite the military insignificance of ISIS at that time, they won the battle of control of Dabiq, and that's why the Islamic State now names its online magazine Dabiq. It's all in this area. I found it interesting that they would use the term Muslims versus Romans, Western forces. Now, the article went on to say that the 2016 predictions of World War III are not new. At this time last year, same time last year, many journalists and world leaders were predicting that the conflict in the Ukraine and Russia's increasing aggression toward NATO would lead to a widespread conflict. That did not happen. While tension is still high in the Ukraine, there was never any action between Russia and the Western European nations. Now, with that in mind, let's pick up over in Matthew 24, where Mr. Buchanan read to us from earlier. And let's just review a little bit here in verse 6. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. These things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. So, even though this coming year we're probably going to hear more news about war, and it'll probably be commonplace in the news, the end is not yet. But we're also told at the end of verse 17, there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. So these things will increase. They're the beginning of sorrows. I want to read something that came out of valuewalk.com. This is a website that's often used by the economic community in their news. According to Salon, it's a magazine, ISIS has secretly been looking into the possibility of weaponizing the bubonic plague, as well as infecting its own militants with Ebola and then sending them around the world by plane. That's diabolical. When you infect people willingly, to then to get on planes to infect other people and weaponizing the plague. Goes on and on this particular website, the possibility of a catastrophe is perhaps much greater today than in past wars, as the author noted in the article. And then there's this regarding the consequences of sexual immorality. This came out this week from Scripps News Service. Now, quote, England's chief medical officer says gonorrhea could soon become untreatable as doctors warn it's quickly developing antibiotic resistance. Gonorrhea is the second most commonly sexually transmitted disease in England. Cases have increased almost 20% between 2013 and 2014, the latest figures. So you think about this, as the sexual morality of the people declines, there will be consequences and you have untreatable diseases. Now why? Why are these all taking place? Why are these prophecies here? Let's keep our place here in Matthew. We will be coming back to Matthew, but let's look at Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26 and in verse 14. Leviticus 26, verse 14. This is one of the chapters of the blessings and curses. The other chapter is Deuteronomy 28. Start in verse 14. If you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments, You know, this is to follow up on what we just heard in the sermonette. We've got to be careful to observe God's laws and commandments. But if you don't, do it, and again, this is to Israel, and this is written to the descendants of Israel, if you despise my statutes, if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you do not perform all my commandments but break my covenant, I also will do this to you. So God's telling us the consequences if we don't follow his laws carefully. I will even appoint terror over you, wasting disease and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. You shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and you will be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you will reign over you. You shall flee when no one pursues you. That's what's going to happen. I'm told it's called Jacob's trouble. Now, what about God's people during this time? Let's look at Psalm 91. Psalm 91. If you notice in Psalm 90, you see it's the beginning of another book in the Psalms. You see the heading there, Book 4. And you'll see under Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Now, you don't see any heading under Psalm 91, but it is the tradition among the Jews that Psalm 91 was also written by Moses. And so we come to verse 5. This should be encouraging to us. You shall not be afraid by the terror of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. All the things that are prophesied to come upon the country, what we're told is, you don't be afraid. 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. You've put your refuge in God. And no evil will befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. He will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And that's why we have to pray on a regular basis that God protects us, that God sets his angels about us. And he watches over us. And he will watch over us because we make God our refuge. We hide under God's protection. And so as we see the things developing in the world, let's go back to Matthew 24. And as, Mike brought out in the sermonette as well, this is what our responsibilities are. We have to endure to the end. Verse 13, he who endures to the end shall be saved. That enduring, as we've heard, is to follow the laws of God carefully, to trust in God with our whole mind and heart. We're going to have to live through some very terrible times. I mean, even though we were not affected by the flood, a lot of people in this area were and are. And you hear some of their stories and you just feel horrible about what has happened to some. And yet God was very merciful to all of us. But we're going to see some things happening in the national scene because of national and individual sins. We have to be clear of sin. We have to make sure we are obedient to God. It does perplex us. It does oppress us to see the things happening, and that is going to happen. We don't want that to occur, but you know, with all these prophecies coming about, we have to do our part and be righteous in our ways. There's something else that has to continue, and we saw this earlier, and it was touched on earlier. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. This is not just in one or two countries. It will have to be preached into the entire world as a witness. Have you ever wondered why the gospel has to be preached? I mean, if you think about it, the world is deceived. And unless God opens that mind, it just goes right over the person's head. So why does the gospel have to be preached? It's because God always, always had, from the time of even Enoch, way back during the time of Genesis, the gospel being preached to show that the world, to show the world there's something else coming. It's the gospel of the kingdom. And God's goal is that that gospel is preached, and it's different from the goals of the churches in the world. See, the worldly churches are on a soul-saving crusade. You have to have your soul saved now, and this is, you know, otherwise you're going to end up in hell. But the message here is that it is to be a witness. Now, what does that mean? What is a witness? Now, this particular Greek word means a testimony or a declaration of fact. In other words, the gospel shall be preached as a declaration of the facts that will include, that do include the fact that Christ did come and die for our sins, that Jesus Christ was resurrected and sits at the right hand of the Father as our high priest, and he will return as King of Kings and establish his government. God will have that truth preached before the end of the end of the age. Now, with that in mind, let's look at this principle over here in Luke 19. Luke 19, verse 37. Luke 19, verse 37. And as they were now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some very profound words are being spoken here. And then some of the Pharisees called to Christ and said to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Now look at this principle that Christ told them in verse 40. He answered and said to them, "I tell you, that if these should keep silent," referring to the disciples as they were praising, Jesus Christ, the stones would immediately cry out. If those disciples had not been praising and blessing the King in the name of the Lord, then the stones would have cried out. The church is made up of the disciples of Jesus Christ. If the church doesn't preach the gospel message, then God's going to make sure it will be preached. Now, we know that eventually the two witnesses will come on the scene. That's true. But until they do come on the scene, it will be preached. So God wants it done. The truth of the kingdom of God is to be preached as a declaration of fact that it will happen. This is the only hope for humanity. Look at the commitment that Paul had over here in 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9 and in verse 16. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16. "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." This was his commitment. He was totally involved in the preaching of the fact, the declaration that the kingdom would come. And again, it wasn't anything he could boast of because it was laid upon him. This was his commission that was given to him. If I do this willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. Okay, he had a choice, either doing it willingly or not willingly, but either case, he was entrusted with preaching the gospel. What is my reward then, that when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, and that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel? He preached it without charge. He did so that he could give it. That involved the backing, and it involved the support of the church. The Corinthians, where he was writing to, and of course all of Macedonia and wherever he went, he couldn't do those things without the support of the church. We all have a part to play in it. Back in the 1990s, I heard some very derogatory comments, degrading comments, that all we were to do in the church was to pray and pay. It was kind of a derogatory comment. And I got to thinking, well, what's wrong with praying? There's nothing wrong with praying. In fact, we're supposed to pray. And what's wrong with sending in God's tithe, which is not our money, but it's God's money? What's wrong with sending in God's tithe money so that the gospel can go out without charge? There's nothing wrong in that. So why were people getting so upset that that's all they did? If that's all they focused on and felt that they were under an obligation without realizing there is a reward involved in this, there is a reward. So we have to ask ourselves, how committed are we in doing what Paul was doing, what Jesus Christ said would be done? You know, today you hear what people call the gospel message, and it's, well, you don't have to obey God's law. And we heard very clearly, we need to obey God's law. Carefully keep it. And, well, you're going to go to heaven anyway. Well, that clouds the truth of the gospel message. So we have an obligation, all of us united together, all in one with the same goal, to state the declaration of the coming kingdom of God in all of our literature, in all of our media, and every week here at church. We come here at church every week, and we're reminded of the coming kingdom of God. We should be, at least, reminded of the coming kingdom. So that's the direction. That's the direction that God has given his church. The world and this nation are under the influence of the devil. And it'll get worse, as we saw. It'll get worse because love will wax cold and people will become even more angry with one another. And this world will reap the consequences of sin. The church, on the other hand, must continue to be righteous and to proclaim the gospel message. So let's look at what the church is planning to do in this next year. Before we do that, let's review one more scripture over here in Matthew 28, verse 19. These particular verses here establish the mission that we have used for the church. It does come from the Bible. Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So, not only is the gospel to be preached, but the church is to teach those who are being called, and to teach, all of us are to be taught what Christ taught. The mission statement actually has these three specific things. And if you read it and you tie it in here to Matthew 28, and you could divide it into three different things. Number one, preach the gospel to the world as a witness. Number two, make disciples throughout the world of those whom God may call. We can't call anyone. We can't convert anyone. Only God can do that. But once God extends that calling and the person makes the commitment to the calling, and then they come into the church, then there's the responsibility of the church to make them as disciples, follow through with the baptism, counseling, etc. and then to be loyal, solid pillar members in the church. We're all to be pillar members in the church, no matter how long or how short we've been in the church. God wants us to be made his disciples. And then the third part is to teach those disciples to observe all that Christ commands. Jesus Christ commands a lot. And we find that through the gospel message and through his inspiration in the Word of God. It's a hefty responsibility that God has placed upon the church, of which we are all part. We're part of this. So what I'd like to do is, as I did last year at this time, I want to review the recently approved plans of the Church of God, a worldwide association, for this coming year, the direction it will be taking. And so there are a number of things we'll be looking at. First of all, I think we're all aware of the fact that the church as a worldwide association was incorporated on December 23rd, 2010. That's 5 years. I don't know what's happened to these 5 years. It's just gone by that quickly. And God has certainly watched over us. He's helped us in many ways if we look over those last 5 years and where we are now. Let me give you some current statistics. At the headquarters right now, we have 23 office employees. Two of them do work remotely, so basically 21 there at the office. And that is at capacity. Hardly any room at all left over. There are 270 congregations around the world served by 208 credentialed elders. There are only 54 employed pastors. It's not a lot, but there's 54. Attendance worldwide is just over 10,000 people. In the United States, our system now has the contact information for 8,640 people. 8,640. That means that that's almost 3,000 more than who are associated with a church congregation. So that means there have been 3,000 people who are interested in some way, with the church, and some have begun donating. One of the blessings from God's love and mercy has been the income. In 2011, it was 8.7 million. In this year, and this was right before the end of the year, it's going to be about 11.2 million. So in 2011, 4 years ago, it's up from 8.7 million to 11.2 million. Now, I personally believe that's God being very merciful to us. It's nothing we have done. It's God doing that. Now let me give you the weekly income that came in 2014 versus what came in this past year in 2015. In 2014, the weekly income was $137,400 per week in 2014. $137,400. 2015, it was per week $153,100. So you can see it's gone up. Now, I do know that God has blessed his people as well. And I've heard anecdotally that a number of people have had job increases and salary increases, have gotten better jobs. And of course, you have almost 11% now of the income coming in from those who are not attending church. So that's coming in as well. And I believe it's a true blessing. We as members now are able to receive a printed copy of One Accord, and this year it's going to come out in color. We also have access to the Discern magazine, which the current subscriptions are about 5,400. The hope is that we can expand it to another 10,000 for a total of about 15,000. We're going to try some modest advertising that we have not yet done. All this has been without advertising. We have 6 booklets in print. 2 more are coming out in 2016. One of them, which has been going through a quite a bit of editorial editing is the booklet on the United States and Britain and prophecy. On the web, we all as members have access to the weekly In Accord. And I might mention, I'm just going to be covering some summary issues today, but the next 2 weeks on the In Accord, you'll be able to hear more detailed updates from what's going to occur in media and finances. We do have the weekly FI online classes. Right now, Hebrews is being covered, but we have all these other classes that are there. Life, Hope, and Truth continues to expand with a number of articles. There are videos now available in the Learning Center there on Life, Hope, and Truth. Plus, we as parents now have all the materials that the church has produced that can help us as parents in teaching our children. And one of the blessings I believe that is very important is we have what we have here, a congregation, a local congregation where we can attend each week. That is a blessing. And the people down in Rolla have that as well. There are people around the world who are scattered. They don't have a congregation where they can meet at every week. Sometimes they only get together at the feast, you know. And some of the members in the French-speaking areas are that way. And hence we're putting together the newsletter, French newsletter, that's nearing completion. I think we're going to have an English copy and a French copy. That hopefully will be done this month. But this is a blessing what we have here. Every week we could come and meet and fellowship and hear the words of God, sing together, you know. There's nothing like it. And I hope we're all appreciative of what we do have here. Regarding the international work, the president is also over those international areas, but he has a liaison pastor to help him. That's Mr. Leon Walker. There are about 5,000 people attending outside the United States. There has been some growth internationally as a result of people coming into contact with church through the internet in these international areas, and also some coming back from the old Worldwide Church of God many, many years ago. One of the issues that is going to have to be addressed this year internationally is the need for manpower development, as many ministers now in the international areas are well into their years of retirement, in the late 60s, early 70s. You have very few that are younger than that. And so there is a program that's going to be developed by Ministerial Services for the training of manpower in those international areas, but it will be a program that can be put together and be used in each of those areas. Now, let me give you a couple of other specific issues that will be addressed. No in particular order, but I'm just covering them. First of all, there is the facility development. As I mentioned, the headquarters facility is at capacity. We're going to need more space for more employees in media, finance, ministerial services, and also some extra space for a mailing fulfillment operation. Last year, there was a low level of look for something where we could go, but nothing worked out. Nothing materialized. Our lease on the building ends in 2017 with a year extension possibly, but it's going to take a year to look and to propose some possibilities, whether to get into a building project or to renovate an existing facility, or to find a brand new property to lease. So you got those options. So what do we do with those options? That's why we've been asked to pray, because we don't know what God wants, what God directs. And so that's one thing they're going to be continually looking at this coming year. Then there's, of course, as I mentioned, in the international areas, there is the leadership development, even in this country. In the United States, approximately 2 men will be retiring each year for the next few years. Every year for the next few years, 2 men will be retiring. Within the next 5 years, then, after that, within another 5 years, that will grow to 4 to 5 men having to retire because of age. We're talking about a number of the pastors who are, you know, older pastors who are in their late 60s, early 70s even now. So what do we do? We've hired 2 men every year to replace those who are retiring. And that happened with where we were in West Virginia. Mr. Lambert was hired, and Mr. Pennelly retired last year. And now we've got these other retirees taking place with Mr. Hendren, Mr. Thompson, and 2 more next year. And so we have the needs. And we have what's called the Focus Mentoring Program, which will take place again this year. From this program comes the pool of those who will be further trained. And right now we're looking at, it's in the budget to hire 2 more men this coming year. Another project that is going to be developed is a structured program for local congregations in local leadership and training that's being developed by a task force that is looking at all the material that the programs have been put together in the past, all the way going back to Worldwide Church of God days. All of those programs and bringing out material that can be placed into a manual with a curriculum. And I believe that'll help all of us here as well. Pastors are all going through the continuing education. We have webinars during the year. We are to access a number of the FI classes, especially epistles, and that gives us extra added background material, helps us in our sermons and Bible studies. Something else that was started and is going to continue every month, it was a discussion we had in there at the headquarters, and it's now in the ministerial newsletter every month, and there's a little section called What Do We Believe? And these are concise 1 to 2 pages on what we have taught and continue to teach about, let's say, various difficult scriptures and brief topics. These are all reviewed by the Doctrine Committee, and they're good sources for sermonettes. Once I get some of these copied, we pass these out to some of those who are giving sermonettes, and we can cover those in services. Or even, you know, as a split sermon. Foundation Institute will continue for the students coming into the office. There will be an online program as well to include more online classes. Members are wanting to have more of the online classes, so we're trying to have more of that. There will be the continuation of the Young Adult Leadership Weekends, and that's going to happen again in this area in Branson over the President's Day weekend. The Foundation Outreach International. Those are programs that do provide scholarships for our members, their children in the Philippines and in Africa. Educational programs and the new Embark program that will help young adults in their career guidance. Most of that funding for Foundation Outreach International comes from fundraisers, donations, and matching corporate funds, which is very good. That corporate funds are able to, matching corporate funds help in that. Now, of course, the expansion of all the media programs, and especially because the income has come in such that we're going to be able to put more money into media, includes print and booklets, Discern Magazine, more video on Life, Hope, and Truth. We're stepping into advertising for print and the web. The internet continues to be our main vehicle at this point to preach the gospel. We keep receiving this past year in 2015 about 600,000 unique visitors every month. That's the basic, kind of the average. In the year before, it was about 300,000 per month. So in 1 year, it has gone from unique visitors, 300,000 per month to now 600,000 per month unique visitors. There is a weekly newsletter that you can subscribe to. It's sent to over 5,000 people every week. It now includes a weekly news update of what happened in the news recently that might have some prophetic implications. As I mentioned, the Learning Center will have more videos on Life Open Truth. There are videos now about the festivals and the Ten Commandments. There will be a Bible course coming out. Four lessons have now been reviewed, gone through the Doctrine Committee as well, and they will be posted soon that will include videos, questions at the end, and an interesting approach to getting more involvement with the one who is taking the course. So that is planning to be posted sometime during the year. There's also the planning for the development of your own what's called Life, Hope, and Truth page, my page, your Life, Hope, and Truth page, where you can custom fit it to what is interesting to you, what your interests are. Now, say if you want to read the articles on the section about God and Jesus Christ, all that, and you could just, that's what I want to read for a while. You could put that into your page and suit it to the education programs that would suit you and your interests. There are now 700 or more articles on Life, Hope, and Truth. All of them have gone through Doctrine Committee review. That's basically what we do teach as a church on all those issues. And if you want to know about a question or a topic or a scripture subject, just type that in the search bar, and up comes all kinds of articles on that. So that would be very helpful as well. The database that was being planned last year is now installed, and even though there were some glitches with it earlier this year with the fee sign up, most of those have been ironed out. We can use it now for a number of things, and it'll help with registration for camps and things like that, and be able to use to correspond with coworkers, those who are coming brand new, and we can help them go further with information about the church. Of course, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that we don't see, and there are provisions in the budget this coming year to hire a systems analysis, to hire some part-time help in video production, data entry, and mail processing. And in summary, what is very encouraging to see is that all are committed to working together wherever they're needed. And this is a unique thing that years ago you had this department over here and this department over here, and different buildings are all together. And so media supports ministerial services. Ministerial services is actively involved in media. They both communicate regularly with the treasurer, who is Mr. Britt Taylor, and he has the task of overseeing the budget this coming year. Now, this is what he wrote in his report. I'm going to share it here. Quote, and Mr. Britt Taylor said, "As we enter our sixth year, we acknowledge our Father in heaven as the provider of all we have. Without question, the church is the recipient of God's fiscal blessings. The income has been strong and steady. Our expenses have been in line with our expectations," unquote. I think all of us appreciate hearing who we give the credit to. It's nothing we have done. It is God. And we're thankful for God to do that for us. We are the recipient of God's fiscal blessings. Then Mr. Franks, when he had sent out this material to us, this is what he concluded in his letter. And I want to quote that. And I quote, "What lies ahead for the Church of God, a worldwide association? What lies ahead? We see the world being torn apart. We must pray every day for God's protection for His people. In the midst of all that, we still believe that God has a work to be done. If we continue doing our part and humbling ourselves before Him and praying fervently for open doors, we believe the future of the organization is bright. It seems clear that God isn't done with us yet. We intend to do our very best to take care of God's saints around the world. If we stick to the plan and draw close to God, The future looks bright even as the world grows darker. Thank you for your efforts in serving God's people and support for the work of the church. This is truly a labor of love for all of us. That includes all of us. We're all in this together. We as members of the Church of God, the body of Jesus Christ, this is a labor of love for all of us. In conclusion, let's look at Luke 12. Let's go to Luke 12. Luke 12, verse 42. Since we're ending a little earlier, we'll probably start the men's club probably around 4 o'clock, five after 4. But let's look at Luke 12, verse 42. The Lord said, "Who is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season?" And notice it's a question. It's a question. Who is that faithful steward? Now, this is a question that applies to us because we find the answer in verse 43. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. We've got to do the work. We're all involved in it as he's placed us in the body. We're to support the church, and we're to encourage one another. We're to pray that God helps all of us as we work together. I believe all of us want to do the will of God. We don't want to do something that is not the will of God. I believe that we all need to pray for God to guide us, all of us, guide the church in everything we do. So as the world and this nation descend into one direction, the church has to move in another direction. It has to move in doing God's will and preaching the gospel and taking care of those whom God has called. We have a part in the greatest work on earth. There's nothing greater than this in what we're involved in. So as we move forward in this year, we've got to continue to do our part individually and collectively. And I'd like to conclude here in verse 44 with what Jesus Christ said. "Truly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has." That is the hope we have, the hope of being part of the coming kingdom of God. And may that time come soon.